This is Morning Edition on WNYC. Well, Bill de Blasio won the most votes last night, but Bill Thompson is vowing a runoff. That's a fitting cap to a topsy-turvy election season, which has seen three frontrunners and unexpected twists. Joining me now to discuss the primary results today in politics are WNYC's Bridget Bergen and Anna Sale, up late last night and now here early. Good morning.
Hi, it's
Darius. Did it ever end? I'm not sure if it ever ended.
Just one long
day. One long day.
So, you know, Anna, Christine Quinn was the front runner, and then it was Anthony Weiner for a while, and then Bill de Blasio. But Weiner came in last among the major candidates, and Quinn came in third. What happened?
Well, first on Anthony Weiner, his campaign collapsed amidst that embarrassing news that he didn't stop sexting women supporters after he resigned from Congress. This bizarre and unreal story that culminated last night in a woman he had sexted with, Sidney Leathers, coming to his returns party wanting to confront him. In the end, Anthony Weiner got about 5% of the votes, and on his way out, he flipped off a reporter. So that's how that story ended last night. But the real story was the appetite among Democratic primary voters for a new direction after 12 years of Bloomberg. Nearly three quarters of Democratic primary voters said they wanted a new direction. And Christine Quinn's perceived closeness to Bloomberg and her support for his third term ultimately really hurt her. She got just over 15% of the vote. And Bill de Blasio ran as the anti-Bloomberg candidate, emphasizing affordability, income inequality, and increasingly over the summer, the stop and frisk era and what he would do that the other candidates wouldn't support to rein that in. Along with those ads featuring his family, that won over voters. He beat his nearest competitor by 90,000 votes about out of 640,000 votes cast. That's the latest count.
I understand it was an emotional scene at Christine Quinn's campaign headquarters last night. What was it like?
Well, it turned quite quickly. I mean, there was thumping dance music and then and dismisses of the exit polls for about, you know, an hour or so. And then when Christine Quinn came out to speak, it got quite emotional. Her supporters had a range of emotions. There were a lot of tears. There were also some anger among women supporters in particular, feeling like Christine Quinn was treated differently than other candidates and real frustration. And then the party was over very quickly. Christine Quinn left after her speech, where she thanked supporters repeatedly and talked about how she believed her campaign was an important message to young women and to LGBT youth, that they were not alone. And then she left quickly and the party broke up.
How did it become such an uphill battle for Quinn? I mean, at one point she was the front runner with a lot of buzz around her possibly being the first woman mayor of the city.
Well, in the end, this was a change election, and her campaign was based on the idea that people, New Yorkers, were comfortable with the 12 years of Mayor Bloomberg and wanted a slightly different style. That's what she talked about. She talked about that New York was in a good place, but it could be even better. And in the end, that's not what Democratic primary voters wanted. They wanted a new direction, and that's what Bill de Blasio ran on, and that won.
So, Bridget, it was quite the opposite at Bill de Blasio's campaign headquarters there. He was in Brooklyn. It was more of a block party, it sounds like, with even food trucks. Well, just set the scene for us there.
Absolutely. I mean, this was a party that started early and went very late. As you said, you know, campaigns try to keep these events with a lower overhead. So instead of supplying food for all their supporters, they brought in food trucks all along the street outside of the Bell House, which is a bar and performance space in the Gowanus section of Brooklyn. You know, you could get your lobster or your wood-burning pizza, all that sort of artisanal Brooklyn fare, very fitting for this Brooklyn candidate. And, you know, there was a large crowd inside. There was a separate room for the VIPs. Cynthia Nixon was there. She spoke before de Blasio. And, you know, there's a little bit of irony in all this, right? Because if you remember Mayor Bloomberg's final State of the City speech this year, it was at the Barclays Center, just, you know, blocks away from where this event was taking place, and really celebrated the emergence of this new Brooklyn. And here we have this candidate who embodies that, celebrating his victory last night.
De Blasio called his campaign a movement. What went into that?
He actually called it a cause, and he thanked his supporters for elevating it to that level. You know, he's consistently used this rhetoric of a tale of two cities, and it's been talking about, you know, addressing issues of inequality in New York that have really emerged under the Bloomberg administration, particularly this last month, I think the de Blasio campaign has sort of captured the imagination of voters. It's been very much a vision campaign. And even when his policies have been attacked by opponents, his tax policy, which would raise taxes on New Yorkers who make more than $500,000, but would also require state approval. You know, his response is to say that his opponents are thinking too small, that in New York we do things big and that we can do these things and get things done. And then you also look at the role his family played in this campaign, this diverse family that really reflects this image of a diversifying New York. And that's all been part of it. And that's all things that people talked about, why they wanted to support him.
You know, de Blasio seems to be riding some kind of Obama-like wave. Can he sustain it?
Well, that'll certainly be a very interesting question. He's got an amazing organization, which I think we really saw manifest over the last month. His ability to get people out the door, to get people to the polls, his support from 1199, the healthcare workers union, which he thanked and mentioned repeatedly last night, is something that I think was really instrumental in terms of getting people to the polls. From there, it'll be, can they sustain that going into a general election or a runoff election where he will no doubt be hit from all sides?
Now, what about Bill Thompson? He was defiant last night and in the clear light of day. Do you think he might rethink that?
Well, what we have to find out is what the final vote counts are. What we have is Bill de Blasio right now at about 40.2%. That's an unofficial count. There still needs to be absentee ballots counted, paper ballots counted. So the question is, does Bill Thompson look at the numbers and see an opportunity to consolidate a coalition of his supporters along with people who might be uncomfortable with Bill de Blasio? Or does he say, you know what, Bill de Blasio, this is about 15-point edge that he had coming out of this very crowded primary field, and decide maybe he's not going to stick into a runoff?
And I think that there are two other key issues with Thompson. You know, he was strongly supported by the teachers union. Do they look at these results and start to reevaluate, you know, have they made the right choice? Do they want to stick with their guy into a runoff? And then who has enough money to keep their message out there between now and October 1st?
So officials will start counting those ballots and those paper ballots on Friday. Do we have any idea when we might find out if there'll be a runoff?
I mean, it's not a simple process. The Board of Elections will be very clear that there's nothing different about what they're doing, you know, for this election than any other election. It is their canvas process. They're going to actually open all the lever machines on Friday and go through and get the actual counts off of each machine. And then actually starting Monday is what they told me last night. That's when they're going to actually start counting all those paper ballots. And that includes not just the, you know, provisional ballots people cast yesterday, but that's all the absentee ballots, all the military ballots. So that's thousands of votes that are yet to be counted, and that could really make a big difference. Whether it makes enough of a difference, too soon to tell.
All right, Anna, let's talk about the Republican, Victor Joe Loda, who gave a detailed and feisty speech last night. He's a former Giuliani official. Are we going to be rerunning a race of the 1990s?
Well, here's what's really interesting. Joe Loda worked for Giuliani. Bill de Blasio worked for David Dinkins. Those were the two candidates in 1989 and 1993 when they battled it out. But this is a very different New York City than that time. In 2009, according to exit polls, the first time there was a majority-minority electorate in a general election. So Joe Loda, to win, has to appeal to a diverse coalition of voters that include voters of color.
And just briefly to wrap up, Bridget, a clear rebuke of Anthony Weiner and Elliot Spitzer yesterday. Have we seen the last of them?
I couldn't predict that. We know that Anthony Weiner had said that he doesn't intend to run for Congress again. Do we expect to see Elliot Spitzer again? He's popped up many times since he's stepped out of the limelight before. So,
all right. Well, thanks so much to both you, WNYC's Bridget Bergen and Anna Sale.
Thank you.
Thank you.